I'm Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Kurt Ullman, and I'll be serving as worship associate this morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Our minister, Reverend Lisa Day, is our worship leader this morning. Our worship, religious education, and covenant group theme for December is Choosing Hope. Here at the UU Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientations, abilities, and ethnic and national origins. Here's our temple, believer, unbeliever, or wild one. We warmly welcome you on YouTube and on site. We have no definition of who we are, but that we are human. We have no code, but that of respect. We have no creed, but that of equality. With the lighting of our chalice, symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into sacred time. Our chalice lighting words are by Reverend Lisa Day. As the darkness gathers this time of year, our prayer is always the same, more light. The flaming chalice reminds us week after week that light fills the world at all times in surprising ways and in hidden places.
The flame of hope, light blue candlelight, lives within us, hiding in the depths of our hearts, bringing new daylight to every twilight. When we are lost and wander aimlessly, hope ignites, burns, and shines brightly on new pathways, whatever comes. Come, let us worship together.
When I was 14, I wanted to become a poet. One of my heroes was E.E. Cummings. His language managed to sound like poetry, but at the same time to be playful and fresh and sometimes quite sexy, as in the poem, "I like my body when it is with your body." I did not know then, nor would it have meant much to me at the time, that his father had been a Unitarian minister and that liberal Unitarian principles had been foundational to his own spirituality. As my contribution to Love at the Center, I would like to read a very short poem by Cummings, which, in the wise words of Google AI, the noted literary scholar, presents love as a transformative, expansive space that encompasses and connects all other places. The poem uses simple affirmative language to equate love with a world of yes, where everything finds its home. Love is a place. Love is a place, and through this place of love, move with brightness of peace all places. Yes is a world, and in this world of yes, live skillfully curled all worlds.
Let us enter into a spirit of meditation. The words of meditation this morning from Paul Beadle. Spirit of life and love, justice and peace, day in and day out wait weary tasks, burdens we lift again, worn paths we wear some more, want and means worn thin, and fatigue. pain and grief, coldness of heart, bitter and weary days where we know desolation. How do we call forth hope? When our hearts are buried, sunken down, how do we dig out, rise up? What healing touch do we long for? What balm might we take and share? Come what may, O Spirit of life, may we keep a ray of light for our inward path. A living water in the depths of us, a cleansing breath at our core. May we keep them for ourselves and to share. May we call forth from each other vitality and tenacity. May love rest in us. May justice live through us. May we have the touch to call others back to life and love, justice and peace. May we sing back their songs and add the alleluias. In the Spirit, by the Spirit, with the Spirit giving power, may it be so. Our first reading this morning from Unitarian Universalist minister, the Reverend Victoria Safford, The Gates of Hope. Our mission is to plant ourselves at the gates of hope, not the prudent gates of optimism, which are somewhat narrower, not the stalwart, boring gates of common sense, not the strident gates of self-righteousness, which creak on shrill and angry hinges. People cannot hear us there. They cannot pass through. Nor the cheerful, flimsy garden gate of everything's gonna be all right. But a different, sometimes lonely place, the place of truth-telling about your own soul, first of all, and its condition, the place of resistance and defiance, the piece of ground from which you see the world both as it is and as it could be, as it will be, the place from which you glimpse not only struggle, but the joy of the struggle. And we stand there, beckoning and calling, telling people what we are seeing, asking people what they see. And the choice, by another Unitarian Universalist minister, Jane Rainey Jepka. One of the most obnoxious dilemmas a parent can present is, well, you can have your choice. You can come into the petting zoo, cousin's recital, ocean, store, camper, ballet, and have fun with us, or you can sit and sulk in the car. You remember, there were parts of the petting zoo, recital, ocean, mall, camper, or ballet that you didn't like, the frisky goat that knocked you over, the perky Mozart, the ocean slime that got in the way of your good time. Yes, sir, alone in the car, nobody was going to make you get butted or bored or green. Pouting had an appealing integrity until the family returned. Turned out they really did have a good time. The winter holidays give us religious liberals the chance to be that kid again, the kid with the choice. In our church, we recognize Hanukkah, though some out there no doubt find tiny colored candles irritating. In our church, we make mention of the solstice, though a few folks do prefer the dark. In our church, we celebrate Christmas, though a few among us despise the carols. I hope you will join in the season of celebration. it won't be perfect. But a special tree somewhere, lights in the darkness, or a simple menorah. The miracle of new birth, the blessings of freedom, the promise of new light. Something will be a wonder. It's enough to get us out of the car. When I pulled a 36-year-old meditation manual off my shelf this week, looking for this morning's readings by Jane Jepka, I didn't remember that it specifically included mention of the winter holidays, and more specifically still, how they are celebrated in many Unitarian Universalist churches. I remembered only the choice. Risk some unpleasantness for the reward, or stay safe from slime, intolerable music, and annoying animals, but also miss the fun. I am going to talk about that choice in regard to the winter holidays, so rediscovering that that's what the piece is really about was an unexpected bonus. Still, my heart is leading me along a sort of parallel path. Not about the choices Megan and Rebecca and I make about our holiday symbols and stories, music and rituals to include in our services and religious education. Not about your choice about whether to bring yourself to church for the services or stay home if they aren't the decisions you'd make about the same things. Rather, my heart is leading me to consider the choice we all face about whether or not to invite the spiritual gifts of this season, or any season really, into our lives, into our hearts. Last week I read the words of Fra Giovanni, who invited us to take joy, take peace. And this month, as Kurt said, our religious education covenant group and worship Soul Matters theme invites us to choose hope. The implication behind those imperative statements, take, choose, is that the only thing keeping us from experiencing the gifts, peace, joy, or hope, is our inability to perceive that they are right here, now, available for our taking. Fra Giovanni even spells it out. There's nothing I can give you which you have not, but there is much, very much, that while I cannot give it, you can take. No peace lies in the future which is not hidden in this present little instant. The gloom of the world is but a shadow. Behind it, yet within our reach, is joy. He goes on to say, life is so generous a giver. But we, judging its gifts by their covering, cast them aside as ugly, heavy, or hard. Remove the covering, and you will find beneath it a living splendor woven of love by wisdom with power. Welcome it, grasp it, and you touch the angel's hand that brings it to you. It sounds so simple. They're scattered all around us for the taking. Loving family, stunning vistas, exquisite melodies, sublime flavors, jokes between friends, neighbors committed to building real, resilient community. So take joy, take peace, choose hope. This week, however, I'm conscious of all the times that the scarcity or abundance of hope or joy or peace, the visibility or hiddenness of those qualities in all their guises isn't the challenge facing us. Because sometimes, often, the obstacle to experiencing those states, those emotions, those gifts is our refusal, reluctance, or inability to do the taking, do the choosing, even if we do see them right there before us in our daily lives. Sometimes we're unable to choose hope, take joy or peace or any of the gifts of the season because of seasonal affective disorder, or undiagnosed or inadequately treated depression or other mental health condition. If you recognize this in yourself, now is the time to consult your primary care provider, seek out a support group, or find a therapist. Not right away, but over time, with consistent treatment, your ability to grab hold of the gifts you can see but cannot grasp will increase. And throughout the year, not just in these overladen with expectation holidays. Other times, we're reluctant to take the spiritual gifts offered to us by the universe and by tradition in this season for reasons very much like the ones Reverend Jepka pointed out. We'd rather sulk than embrace imperfection. Bah humbug to the commercialism of Christmas. Bah humbug to the Christian co-optation of ancient pre-Christian celebrations of the solstice. Bah humbug to Unitarian Universalism's unfortunate, albeit now fading, habit of elevating Hanukkah into a major holiday competing with Christmas. I'll leave it all on the table, including the hope, joy, and peace of the season, rather than sacrifice my moral superiority and integrity. In this case, well, it is our choice. We can stay in the car or hold up at home, refusing all the invitations. But we're liable to find ourselves a bit wistful, or worse, crabbier than ever, when the family returns to the car full of tales of the delights of holiday lights and cookie exchanges and caroling. When we see and hear the cheer in faces and voices of friends as they tell us about warm and laughter-filled family gatherings that were, on the whole, worth the hassle and the awkward moments, the annoying cousin and the not quite to our liking meal. Often, however, I think we fail to choose hope, to take joy or peace, neither because of the state of our mental health, nor because of a more or less surface-level commitment to being Scrooge. More often, our commitment to being clear-sighted, clear-headed realists, savvy observers of history and current affairs gets in our way of choosing the gifts of joy, peace, and hope this time of year. Or the gifts of new beginnings in January, or resurrection and rebirth in spring. Grasping joy for our spirits seems like turning our back to the state of our country in 2025, ignoring the hatred spewed, the greed and division sowed by the President of the United States, dismissing the obvious partisan bias of the Supreme Court, and disregarding the unqualified cabinet members endangering our health and safety, and the weak and cowardly Congress members failing to provide oversight. Taking joy seems like turning our back on the devastating fire hose of trickle-down effects of all these things. Claiming peace for our hearts seems like pretending we don't know about Russia's war on Ukraine, the fragile ceasefire in Gaza, and the scores of armed conflicts even now taking lives and destroying towns and countries around the globe every single day. Like we don't know that femicide and trans hate and racism are every bit as deadly as declared conflicts. Like we don't know that dehumanization always erodes peace. Taking peace seems like pretending true peace isn't actually very, very rare. And embracing hope with our souls seems like we haven't noticed the fear of our immigrant neighbors, the despair of community members who can't afford groceries, much less Christmas gifts, the weariness of people who can't find jobs, the constant fear of living while black, brown, or trans. Choosing hope seems at best to betray naivety about the entrenched nature of these realities at worst to indicate hard-heartedness toward life condition of anyone other than ourselves. Our sometimes individual, sometimes collective desire to avoid the appearance of being deliberately disconnected from reality is understandable. We live, after all, in reality, and while these days we're not enjoying it very much, still we know that pretending it is otherwise neither changes reality nor improves our lot within it. The thing is, when we stubbornly refuse peace, joy, or hope in the name of realism, we're deluding ourselves about the nature of those spiritual gifts. Hope's not about ignoring or dismissing or looking away from the pain and destruction of the world. It isn't about pretending there are easy or obvious solutions to all that needs to be repaired, reconfigured, or knocked down and created anew. And it certainly isn't about a surefire guarantee that everything will be all right. Hope is about holding in our hearts the possibility that the final chapter is not written, even if it is a tenuous hold on a fragile belief. And further, because the future is as yet unwritten, hope is also about knowing that while none of us is called to do it alone, each of us is nevertheless called to play a vital role in stopping the ongoing harm to communities, peoples, and our planet, and contributing to the healing of the brokenness of the world. Choosing hope doesn't mean we don't see the mess. It only means we don't have to and don't get to throw up our hands at the mess and succumb to it. In the end, choosing hope doesn't reconcile a community divided. Taking joy doesn't heal a nation's wounds. Taking peace doesn't rid the globe of war. Choosing them, taking them, empowers us to do the jobs ourselves. And who else is there anyway? As Annie Dillard wrote in Holy the Firm, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in God's holy place? There is no one but us. There is no one to send, nor a clean hand, nor a pure heart on the face of the earth, nor in the earth, but only us, a generation comforting ourselves with the notion that we have come at an awkward time, that our innocent parents are all dead, as if innocence has ever been, and our children busy and troubled, and we ourselves unfit, not yet ready, having each of us chosen wrongly, made a false start, failed, yielded to impulse and the tangled comfort of pleasures, and grown exhausted, unable to seek the thread, weak and involved, but there is no one but us. There never has been. The choice to choose hope, take joy, take peace, reaching for and grabbing hold of these spiritual gifts of the season, taking them into our hearts and allowing them to enliven our bodies, it's a solemn responsibility and a holy blessing. May we take it up and use it well and wisely. Amen.
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.